Why settle for 7% returns from your 401k? Whether you're an experienced investor or new to the game, our friends at The Motley Fool want to help you find great stocks. That's why they've created a report on a group of five stock picks for the next generation of investors. And it's free for all WSJ and Barron's Group listeners. Visit fool.com/WSJ.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, January 6th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. This week, a group of Google employees said they're forming a union. That's a pretty rare move in the tech industry. So on today's episode, we'll take a look at what these employees are pushing for and how it tracks with labor organizing efforts elsewhere in tech. Our reporter Sarah Needleman will help us do it after these headlines. The Bitcoin-focused media company CoinDesk has acquired Tradeblock, a data and trading firm best known for its Bitcoin price index XBX. Terms of the deal weren't disclosed. The move illustrates how important data and indexes are becoming to the crypto industry. The price of Bitcoin has nearly quintupled since this time last year, and the renewed interest is spurring demand for more sophisticated ways to track and trade cryptocurrencies. Qualcomm is getting a new leader. The semiconductor giant said yesterday that its current CEO, Steve Mollenkopf, is stepping down in June. During his 7 years as chief executive, he navigated Qualcomm through several major challenges, including a legal dispute with Apple and an antitrust suit from the Federal Trade Commission. Mollenkopf will be replaced by Cristiano Amon, who's currently serving as Qualcomm's president. Here's our reporter Isa Fitch with what the move means for the company.
You know, the transition is kind of symbolic of this new era that Qualcomm hopes will be more about how the company can capture this fast-growing market for 5G smartphones and for networking equipment and other new areas that the company wants to explore, like, you know, putting chips into autonomous vehicles, putting chips into new kinds of IoT devices and things like that. So it's kind of a symbolic transition for the company, you know, from an era of major challenges into one where the company hopes, at least, that things will be a bit more free and clear.
President Trump signed an executive order yesterday banning transactions with 8 Chinese-connected apps, including the payment platform Alipay and the WeChat Pay app. In the order, Trump said the Chinese government can use the apps to collect information about federal employees and contractors. The companies didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. This order is the latest case of sparring between the U.S. and China over technology and national security concerns, and it's expected to raise tensions just before President-elect Joe Biden is set to take office. And in a reversal, the New York Stock Exchange says it's keeping China's 3 biggest telecom companies listed after all. The NYSE had originally said it was kicking the telcos off the exchange after a U.S. government order that prohibits Americans from investing in companies it says help the Chinese military. The exchange says it reversed its decision after consulting with regulatory authorities. Shares of the telecom companies surged on the news. All right, coming up after the break, why employees at Google are forming a union and what that could mean for the rest of tech. That's next.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering 5 of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/WSJ.
Happy to be here. There are, as you said earlier, about 200 employees that are involved in this, and they're potentially adding new members going forward, and they're being affiliated with the Communications Workers of America Local 1400. That's a union organizing establishment, and it would be the first one open to employees and contractors at any Alphabet company. And Alphabet, as a reminder, is the parent of Google.
And often unions are formed to help with collective bargaining or address issues with things like wages or benefits. Is that the case here?
No, that's not really the case here. Wages and employee benefits aren't really the issue. In fact, the employees at Google are among the best compensated in American corporations anyway, and they enjoy ample perks. What's really the issue here is about the ability for employees to speak out about the company without facing career repercussions. They want to wield power in terms of areas like dealing with harassment, abuse, or discrimination, and make sure that the people responsible for those behaviors are held accountable. They want the freedom to decline to work on projects that don't align with their values. And they want all workers, regardless of their employment status, to be able to enjoy the same benefits.
And this isn't exactly coming out of nowhere, right? We've seen quite a bit of employee activism at Google in recent months and years.
Right. Google employees have a history of vocalizing their concerns. So, for example, in 2018, thousands of employees staged a walkout to protest what they believe is a workplace culture that promotes and protects perpetrators of sexual harassment. Employees have criticized the company's work with the Department of Defense. And at one time, they were critical of the company's plan to explore a censored search engine for Chinese citizens. And these are just some of many examples over the years where employees have come together and organize in some fashion to voice concerns about the company.
How has Google's leadership responded to this news?
Google's director of people operations, Kara Silverstein, said that the company's always worked hard to create a supportive and rewarding workplace for its employees, and that, of course, the company respects employees' labor rights and that they'll continue to engage directly with employees.
Sarah, we mentioned that this is a group of about 200 employees. That's 200 out of Google's more than 132,000 employee workforce. How much power do they actually have to force change here?
When I spoke to a spokesperson for the Communication Workers of America, she said that sometimes it just takes a few people to make change. You don't necessarily need a large number. And again, we're not talking about collective bargaining here, which usually does require a large number of employees to be involved. Here, this is really a case of it could be a small group coming together and planning how they want to handle things, planning what communications they want to have with the company, and should something arise that they need to address, that they'll be prepared to do so. But also keep in mind, this is just the beginning. They've been operating for about a year now in secrecy, and now they're just coming out. So it's possible that, you know, many employees were not aware of this organization and will start signing up. So we'll have to wait and see how many people join in. But the number may not necessarily have anything to do with their effectiveness. It's hard to say, but it doesn't really matter. There isn't a specific number that you have to reach for a union to be effective per se.
And as all this moves forward, what do we know about how Google's leadership is going to be working with the union?
Well, Google late last year announced the hiring of a chief people officer following the resignation of its VP of people operations. So this new executive, who was previously head of HR at AstraZeneca, starts with Google this week. And so it's possible she will be responsible for handling some of this or addressing it. And it's also, you know, when new people come in, there's often change. And it's possible that this new chief people officer will make changes that are in line with what the union wants or not. But usually a new person come in, there is change. And so it's, you know, we'll see how she tackles that role and what kind of relationship she and the company pursue over time with this union.
And I just want to point out here, you know, historically, Google's had a culture that really encourages dissent and debate among employees. Is it significant that these unionization efforts with these concerns is happening at Google in particular?
Well, it is. And also just in tech. I mean, there are very, very few unions in the tech sector to begin with. So that in itself makes this stand out. And we are talking about Google, which is a massive, massive company. And so it's certainly notable in that regard. And the company has allowed some debate, but recently, for example, they implemented rules intended to curb political conversations among staff. And Google's added corporate moderators to many of its internal affinity groups as a way to reduce strife among its employees. So it's sort of stepped in to some extent. But overall, it has supported open debate.
And what about big tech more broadly? Are there any signs of similar action at other tech companies?
We have seen other tech companies face pressure from their workforces as of late. Workers at Amazon, an Amazon warehouse in Alabama, received approval last month to hold a unionization vote. And that's the first such election since 2014 at the company, which is the nation's second largest employer. Amazon has faced criticism, as well as Instacart, over how they treat workers in terms of safety with regard to the coronavirus pandemic. So there have been some examples of employees speaking up, and there also has been an increase in unions in general, not within tech, but the interest in unions was actually going down for many years. And now more recently, it started to reverse that trend.
All right. That's our reporter, Sarah Needleman. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Take care.
You too. All right, that's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.